Hello, my name is Alma Gabriel. It's May 25th, 2018, and I am here to conduct the oral history at the United Women of East African Support Team Center. Can you tell me your name and can you spell it out for me?
Hi, my name is Faiza. I spell my name as in F-A-I-Z-A, but back home the way we spell it is F-A-I-S-A.
How old are you?
Or where were you? Or can you tell me the date of your birth?
I was born 1996.
Where were you born?
I was born in Somalia.
If you have a hometown, can you describe it for me?
My hometown is Egypt, Cairo. That's where I grew up. Very friendly place. We used to live with a big family, uncles, aunts, cousins. So it was a really wonderful hometown.
Can you describe your childhood home? How did it look like?
I used to live in the second floor. It was 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom, a kitchen, 2 living rooms. We had a huge balcony, and it was a home full of so many people. We were living with a lot of family, so it was my aunt, my cousin, and her kids, and my other cousin. So it was a big family, always full of people, never calm, always outgoing, having friends over. So that was how was my childhood home was like.
What was your favorite part of home or place?
Favorite part of home would be just having that family time. We would have a lot of, especially when we're eating lunch or dinner or any type of food, we would all come together and sit on a big table. So that was my favorite time. Right now, it's just me, my mom, and my brother. So it got smaller. So missing that big family. So that was my favorite time.
What were your neighbors like? Can you describe
Our neighbors were really kind. We would always knock on each other's door if we needed something. If we needed onion, we would go to our neighbor and ask them. And it was just a big family, the whole neighbor. So everyone was friendly with each other. Everyone was, greeting each other. It was a big family in a way.
Can you tell me some of your favorite childhood memories?
My favorite childhood memories. It was running around, when once we come home from school, we were able to eat, take a nap, go outside and play. It was a freedom in a way. You would say no parent was afraid to, let the kid outside. So we would always be outside playing. Our parents weren't really worried about us. They were really comfortable with the neighborhood. So we were able to run around. There was a salon next to me, so I would go there and have my hair done. So it was just a big family in a way, the neighborhood. So it was a really comfortable place where I would go to the salon, I would go to the stores, and everybody knew each other and were really kind to each other.
Can you tell me your parents' name or grandparents' name?
My mom, her name is Aisha Mahdi. My dad, his name is Mohammed Warsameh. My grandpa, his name is Osman Mahdi, which is my mom's dad. And then my dad's dad, his name is Warsameh Farah. The grandma, their names, I always forget. My mom's mom, her name is Amina. I can't really remember my dad's mom. But yeah.
Did you spend more time with one side of your family?
No, both of my grandparents, from my mom and my dad, they died before I was born, so I didn't know any of them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I didn't really know much of my grandparents.
Mm-hmm. So what do you remember the most about your parents, or any stories that your parents told you about your grandparents?
I was raised by my mom. My dad died when I was little, so I don't really know much about him. Well, I know about him, but I haven't seen him. My mom tells me stories about her family the most, and my dad's side of the family. But about my grandparents, it would be about my grandpa. He used to be the only child in his family, and she used to tell me how he used to be really hardworking. He became a doctor, and he used to help the community a lot and used to always treat them. And he used to run a big hospital, and she used to tell me, like, his achievement, how hardworking he was, how he loved to help the needy, and how he was good to his family and his neighbors, and the great thing he did as a doctor.
Do your parents or grandparents have a different ethnicity?
No, we're all Somali.
Do you know what your parents did for a living and your grandparents?
My dad, he was a businessman, so he used to have a car shop and he used to do businesses around the world. My mom, she used to work at a bank. My grandparent, I only know my grandfather, he used to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. And then my mom, her mom, was just a stay-at-home mom, so yeah.
What can you tell me about their education levels?
My mom went to high school. She wasn't able to attend college because of a financial issue. But my grandpa, he finished university. He got his doctorate degree. But yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, it makes me sad that my mom really wanted to go to university, but she wasn't able to. And I never thought, like, back home, university, you have to pay for it, and it just made me realize that. But it kind of makes me sad because she wanted to pursue university and she wanted to do more for herself. But for my grandfather, it gives me, like, courage, and I just look up to him in a way because he accomplished so much, and he was a doctor and he did so much. So for him, it was kind of like he's my role model in a way.
Do you know how your grandparents met?
So for my mom's side of the family, my grandma, she was an orphan. So my grandfather's mom raised her. And so when my grandfather was at the age of getting married, his mom decided, you know what, why don't you just marry this girl that's raised in our house? And we know her really well, and she's within family. So I guess you could say arranged marriage in a way, but they had a really good life.
How did your parents meet?
My parents, they met through a family member. So my cousin knew my dad. My mom's cousin knew my dad, and so she introduced them, and that's how they met.
Did your mother, father tell you how their childhood was like any stories?
My mom always talked to me about her childhood. It was really nice. She used to live with her family. She used to go to school in Hamar. And it was really nice. She used to tell me how in school she was she was really good at school. She was a straight A student. Never got in a fight, but she wouldn't let other kids, bully her or anything. Like, she would stand up for herself. But yeah, she was a good student, a role model.
Did she ever tell you, like, what were the economic differences from, like, compared to now, back then?
Now and back then, now, like, the economy, I feel like, is really in a low level right now. Back then, it was okay, but right now, they're still trying to fix the economy system, and they're still working on it. Back then, she said it was stable, and it was okay, but I didn't know much about it.
What important lessons did you learn from your parents or grandparents?
There's a lot, but for my mom, it was just like, achieve what you want to do, like, follow your dreams. If you work hard, you're going to get to where you want to get to. Always be an honest and a good role model to yourself and to others. Be kind and respectful. Just working hard, basically. So working hard, and you will achieve what you want to get to or where you want to be. So that was a big one.
And for you, what was like, or for her, what was the ideal role model?
Ideal role model was a person that was really working hard, achieving their dreams, didn't always tell the truth. Like, they didn't take anything for granted. Like, they would always do things. They would get to where they want to get to by their hard work and honesty, and not, going around and taking the wrong turns.
Can you talk about an important relative you have a special relationship with?
It will be my uncle. I don't really know. Like, I have a big, my mom's side of the family, they're big, they're huge. But there's this one uncle, I have a special relationship with him. He's my favorite uncle. I always talk to him. He's very open with me. He always tells me everything. It's just a really good relationship. Like, really nice.
What makes him stand out from everyone else?
It's really easy to talk to him. Like, he is able to talk about the family, what life is like. If you ask him any question, he's not, like, he doesn't hesitate to answer you. Like, he's always honest with you. He finds time for me, if that even makes sense. He's always there when I need him. So if I have something I'm struggling with and I need advice, like, I will go to him because I know I can trust him and he will give me a good advice that will help me.
Is there any, like, special memory that you have with him, like, in a special event?
Just a little, when I was little, when I first saw him, but I don't really know. I haven't seen him in person ever. Like, I saw him when I was little, but when I grew up, I haven't seen him. He lives back home. So, no, not really.
So where's back home for him?
Somalia.
What part of Somalia does he live in?
He lives in Mogadishu.
How many siblings do you have, if you have any?
I have a younger brother. I have, we're a total of 9, including me. But I have 4 older sister and 3 older brother and 1 younger brother.
What were your siblings, where are they living now?
My younger brother, he lives with me. The rest, they live all over the place. So one lives in Australia, 2 live in Canada, 1 lives in Sweden, Norway, Holland. They're all over the place. Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
It's good. I mean, it makes me really good to know that, like, I have families all over the world. But at the same time, it's kind of sad because I haven't grew up with them, so I don't really know much about their lifestyle or, you know, their actual, I don't know. We don't have that much of a connection because I didn't grow up with them. But in a way, it feels good to know that they're all over the place.
Do you have any contact with them?
Yes, I do. Just talking to them over the phone. One was able to visit us, so visiting each other once in a while. But yeah, mostly talking on the phone.
How were you and your siblings disciplined as a child? And did you have to discipline your siblings or no?
I didn't have to discipline my siblings. The way we were disciplined was be respectful, work hard for what you need. We do things in an order time. So if you come home, you have to, you know, wash yourself, eat food, do your homework, you know, clean after yourself, and then you can play or do whatever you need to as long as you are respectful.
What were other childhood duties that you had to do?
My mom wasn't that big on me. Like, she taught me how to cook at a very young age, but there was nothing as in, like, you have to clean and you have to cook. But she taught me how to cook and clean. So, you know, after we ate, I would wash the dishes. That was my thing, washing the dishes, cleaning the bathroom once in a while. But mostly she used to do it, but I would do it, like, through the weekend.
How did duties break down by gender?
We would take turns. I remember my mom, she would make my brother wash the dishes, and then I'll wash the dishes after. I thought that was a good thing, but yeah, taking turns.
Are you still in contact with other family members or back home?
Yes.
Yes?
I am.
If yes, how often?
I'll call them whenever I find time, so like every other day or once a week, depending on my schedule.
So what kind of schools did you attend back in, back home?
I did not attend school in Somalia. I left there when I was very young, so I was 3 or 4, I think. But I moved to Egypt and I was living there. I went to elementary and preschool over there.
What were the schools like?
It was really good, but in a way, I remember we used to take a bus to school because it was in near our area. Very nice, kind teachers, but it was a interesting way of discipline than here. they have their own way of disciplining the students. But I didn't see much of Somali people. There is not a lot of Somali people, but it was mostly Arabs. But it was really good school.
What were some memories or memorable events you had in school?
Graduation. I remember graduating from preschool. Just that little ceremony, it was really nice. Recess time, that was memorable too. In Egypt, their school, the recess time, there was like a area where they sell chips and candy and all of that. So I remember us running around the field, and if we had money that our parents gave us, like, we would go to the store and buy chips. So that was nice.
What was your favorite thing to buy?
Chips, of course.
Did you participate in any activities during school or outside?
Activities, not much. Just sports I used to do during recess, but other than recess or outside school, no, I didn't.
Was it because of time or because of something else?
I think it's because of lack of information. Like, there was not, our parents weren't really aware of, like, activities or anything to do outside of school, so we would just come home and play at home.
What would you play at home?
At home, we used to have, we would make up our own games. Like, it was me and my cousins, so we would make up our own games. We lived in a big apartment, so we would do hide and seek. We were able to play outside with other neighbors too, but majorly make up our own game. It was really weird.
How was it living in Egypt?
It was really nice. I really, really loved living there. I felt like it was a home for me. It was, as a young child, it was a really home for me. I was able to enjoy it very well. My mom was able to provide a lot for me, so I used to play games and do a lot of stuff. But right now, I'm thinking back, it just, like, I feel like for adult, I think it was different. It was a bit tougher then. But as a child, it was great.
What, did you have any plans, like, when you were growing up, of what you wanted to be?
I always wanted to be a doctor.
Was that because of your grandpa?
Yeah, it was because of my grandpa. And just because I loved helping and, like, being at the hospital. Because I remember I had a surgery for my nose. And just how the doctors and the nurses were helpful, I think that was a big reflection. Like, I really liked that. So I was like, I want to work at a hospital too.
And what reflections did you have?
Meaning?
Like, did it make you realize that you wanted to help people, or what?
I think because the hospital I was in, there was, so my brother was in the hospital too because he fell out of a balcony. So being in the hospital in a while with him and going to visit him, and I was able to see a lot of young kids that were in the hospital, and it really made me sad. But at the same time, seeing how the nurses were coming in, kept on checking on them, made me really love it. Like, I really loved how the nurses kept on coming every 10 minutes or every 15 minutes and checking and seeing how they were doing. They were feeling comfortable if they needed anything. So that care and genuineness, I really loved that. And I was like, I want to do something like that for another child too.
While you were there, did you work while you were in school? Or
in Egypt?
Yes.
No, I was just in middle school. I was in elementary. It was just like a thought, but I was in elementary.
What was your first job?
My first job was United Women of East Africa, the center. That was my first job.
How did that happen?
My mom used to be involved in the center before we moved to this building, so she used to be very involved before. And there was a job opening, and so they were looking for someone, and they just connect me to it.
How old were you?
I was in high school. I was senior year, so 17.
What is your current job position?
I am youth coordinator, but I'm also, like, overseeing other programs, so youth coordinator.
Are you currently attending school?
I am.
Where's that at?
Mesa College.
Why did you decide to attend Mesa College?
When I was applying for schools, I got into San Bernardino and I wanted to go there. But I realized that, you know, my older sister advised me to stay back with my family. So since I had to stay back, Mesa College was just near my house. So it was just like a, why not just go over there if I'm going to go to community college? This one is the nearest to my house. So, yeah.
Why did you decide to stay by your house?
It was closer to the house. A lot of people told me Mesa College was a really good school too. So, and it was just easier for me to go back and forth.
Mm-hmm. So do you commute or do you live in the...
No, commute.
How is that?
It's really good. It's not that far away from my house. Mm-hmm. So it's really nice.
Do you have an idea of what you want to become, like your major?
I'm doing psychology. Originally, I was doing nursing, but that became really hard, especially with, like, family status and everything. And I just had to reflect on my family and how nursing school and the whole process is. And for San Diego, nursing school is very hard to get in. So I was thinking, do I really want to wait that long for to get to nursing school? And I decided I couldn't wait that long. So psychology was the next thing. So, yeah.
What made you choose psychology?
I always love working with kids. I think that's why I wanted to do nursing, just to work with kids. So I took a psychology class. It was really interesting. At the center, we have a mental health program for the youth. And seeing how working with the youth and learning about, for them to learn about mental health and realizing that in our community, we don't really talk about mental health and we don't really think it's an issue, but it's a big issue in our community and people are not educated about it. And I just wanted to understand, I saw a lot of kids acting up for no reason. So I was like, I want to do psychology to understand why they're thinking the way they're thinking, what ways to help them out. And then just to educate the community more about mental health and to for us to know more about it and be aware about it.
Why do you think the community doesn't talk about mental health as much?
I think it's just a cultural thing. No one really, back home, no one really talks about mental health much, and we don't really think it's a big issue. So we don't really think it's a disease. We just say, like, oh, the person is just going through some struggles, you know, make them pray or go to the mosque and they're going to feel better. But, you know, is there serious issues? So I feel like a lot of people keep it to themselves and they don't want other people to know that they're going through struggles or they're having a mental issue. So because I feel like they're afraid that they're going to be looked down upon. So we don't really talk much about it.
So you said you currently have a job at the United Women of East Africa Support Center team. How does that make you feel? Do you like your job?
I love it. I really love my job, yeah.
Why do you like your job?
Working with kids. Like, I always work with kids. You know, and to me, I feel like kids kind of like make you learn as a person too. I learn a lot from them. And I hope they're learning a lot from me. But coming, and then whatever I'm going through, if I come and talk to the kids and I'm just asking them how they're doing or any of that, like, for them, the way they talk about their life and the way they see life and is really interesting. And it just makes you happy. It just makes you see things differently. But they really, working with the kids, that's the biggest thing. And also, like, for me to know that I am helping them see their future or lead them to a journey that they're going through, and then I'm helping them on their way of journey, I think that's the biggest thing that makes me happy about it.
So you said you like working with kids because you get to learn from them. What mm-hmm. is like some things or a thing that you have learned from them so far?
A lot. There is a lot. To be honest, like, right now we see like as adult we see things in a certain way, but the way they describe certain things is really beautiful. One of the things is they're very kind-hearted. It's like really caring for each person. I love how they don't really see issues that we see as a big deal. To them, it's not that big of a deal, which is really good to see that. Friendship, family is a big to them, which is really amazing to see that, and how much they care for others. Like, for example, a lot of the kids, when they see new people coming in, the way they are welcoming, the way they are, like, you know, including everyone is very beautiful. And for some adults, it's really hard for them to include other people and, like, bring them in and welcome them. But for the kids, like, they have open heart. Like, you know, they're welcoming everyone in. And the way they're really kind-hearted, it just really is a lot to learn from them.
How has this community affected your personal life?
My personal life? It didn't really affect my personal life much, other than, like, you know, working a lot a bit more. And I don't really have much of, like, the time that I used to spend with family. Other than that, not really.
Who do you come with in this place? Do you come by yourself or do you come with someone?
I come by myself, yeah.
Is your mother still part of this board? Or?
Yeah, she is. She comes to events and programs that we're having, celebrations. She always comes with me then.
How has she seen this community grow? Like, are there any differences between when she was here and now that you are here?
I think back then it was just like a couple programs. Now we have a lot of programs and we're serving more youth than we were before. So I think that's the biggest change that she was able to see.
Can you describe a little bit more the program? Like, what is it?
So we have a lot of different programs. We have Girl Scouts. We have tutoring program. We actually have two tutoring programs. We have a general tutoring program and newcomers tutoring program for the kids that just came right now, for them to speak English, for us to help them read and write. And then we have Young East African Scholars, which is a boys program where they're able to do activities for the boys, games for the boys, just like a brotherhood, like, you know, connecting with the boys. We have a program called Urban Beast that just recently started. It's about mental health, but it's for the young kids that are 16 to 25. They're not that young. But they're able to learn about mental health through arts and crafts and poetry and music. We have the Making Connection, which is a mental health for the boys, where they are able to learn about mental health and for them to get trainings and workshops about mental health so they're more aware of it. We have like counselors that are here that are being trained, so they're able to help the boys with, you know, any struggles that they're having. We have another program that's called Connecting Souls that are for the older girls, and what we do is we bring young females that are in different fields to come in. And they talk about their field, how college was like for them, what made them be in that field, and how they like it, what their typical day is like. So the girls have an idea, like, I can be anything, whether it's lawyer, whether it's engineer, like, I can do anything. Like, if she's able to do it, I am able to do it too. But yeah, we have a lot of program. We have another program we have is girls basketball on Sundays for the girls, and that is for the girls to, you know, do basketball at the same time exercise, because a lot of our girls, since we do, like, modesty and stuff, they're not able to play sports outside. So that's for them to have that moment of playing sports and being comfortable with their own girls. So, yeah.
Can you describe your typical work day here?
It depends on the day, because each day is a different program, so it's different. But usually, planning the lesson, having the lessons ready for the kids, welcoming the kids, playing games, you know, depending on if we have icebreaker, doing games with the kids, having dinner, and then cleaning up. But basically having, every day is a different day.
What is your favorite part in this center and why?
My favorite part, like I said, working with the kids. But it just, seeing that we're bringing new programs, I think that's my favorite part too. Bringing new programs and, you know, giving the kids different opportunities, which makes them really happy, like having different programs and for them to express what they like and what they don't like. And so we're able to change that up. I think that's a big thing that I like about it. Like, we're able to do programs and activities for the kids that they want. So if they say, like, we want to do this kind of program or this is what we want, we try our best to find that kind of program for them. And that's a big thing I love about it.
Why do you keep coming back? Other than having time to spend with kids?
I feel like we're making a change in the community and also in the kids' life. I think that's the reason why I keep on coming back. I remember a couple of, I think it was 2 years ago, we did an internship for the high school kids, and we taught them about, like, college, what they need to do, you know, what they should look forward to it, like in the college life, what it's like, what they should do. We taught them about FAFSA and, you know, loans and all of that. And seeing they went to college and they were, a few of them were able to come back and say, you know what, the internship really helped me out. Now I know what I'm doing in college. And just seeing that, that's what makes me come back, you know, knowing that, like, what we're doing for them is, like, really helping them in their future, and we're able to guide them to their journey and help them in their journey. I think that's the reason why I keep on coming back.
What was the internship?
The internship, it was with the center. It was basically just to educate them and give them experience about college life. So we were able to invite different speakers to come and talk to them about, you know, different majors, so the kids have an idea what major they want to do ahead of time. And then just different workshop about, like, financial aid, loans, and different things about colleges, so they're more aware of it. Just kind of, like, advices for them, so they're able to, they know, like, you know, okay, I don't know what classes I need to go. I know that I have to go see a counselor and talk to them instead of just taking random classes. So just, like, advices to help them in college.
Yeah. Are there any other spaces where you feel comfortable other than this org?
The mosque. I think that's a big one that I feel more comfortable. Yeah, and my home.
Do you attend the mosque daily or...
Not daily. I go, I would say, like, 3 times a week or more, depending on my schedule, but the minimum is, like, 3 times a week.
Is it far from home or no?
So I go to 2 different ones. One where I, like, grew up when I was younger here, which I am far away from, and another one is, like, near my house.
Do you feel more connected to your culture while being here?
Yes, I do.
And can you provide some examples?
So we have ladies that work with us, so they're able to bring the culture, as in, like, tell the kids stories about back home and learn how their childhood life was like back home, and the kids are able to see, like, the different lifestyle. So I think that's a big one. Also, just seeing your own kind of people kind of makes you feel like you're within your own culture.
What are some stories that the elders have shared?
How they were as a teen. So each story has their own interesting, I don't know, interesting things to say. Each parent has their way of, like, when they see the kids acting up, they will say, you know what, when I was in high school or when I was in elementary, I didn't do what I used to do. If I did this, my teacher would hit me or I'll get in trouble, or, you know, this was school life for us. So the kids, it's nice to see the kids seeing, like, you know, parents telling those kind of stories. So they're able to kind of compare to here and see, like, wow, that was a lifestyle back then. So that, I think that's a big one.
What's, like, one of the most, like, outstanding stories that you've heard that you have, like, that you keep with yourself?
That's a hard one. How they were very connected. So I remember there was this one story where the mom, like, it felt like back then students were, so back then, and like in back home, if you, in Egypt the same too, like there, you stay in one class and only the teacher leaves the class. So the students that you're in class with, you're going to see them every single day, 7 periods or 6 periods. And but the teacher is the only one that's going to leave and switch. So if I had math, after my math teacher was done, she would leave and the history teacher would come. So the students would just stay in the same room. That was a big thing. And one thing, one story that I really liked that was interesting was they had a teacher, and the teacher was teaching them, I think, math, and he was a new teacher, so he would just go to the board, write all the information down, wouldn't explain anything to them, and it would just fill the whole board full of information, you know? And then once they asked questions, like, he wouldn't answer any of the questions. It felt like he was good at being a professor instead of a high school teacher. So they didn't understand any of the material. They kept on asking him, like, we don't understand this. What do you mean? And he wouldn't explain it to them, like, as in, like, figure it out. And the cool thing was, like, the whole class was like a family, so they were all connected. And so one time they said, you know what, since he's not listening to us and he's not explaining anything to us, we should just leave the classroom. And then one day he was just facing the board writing all the information, and they all left the class quietly. And once he turned around, there was no student in the classroom. it was really interesting to see, like, as a class, there was, like, they were a team, like, they were working together. They got in trouble by the principal, but I love how they worked together as a team, so that was interesting.
Do you see that, like, working together as a team here, now that you're attending school here, or?
In school, I don't really think so, especially in college, like, everyone has their own thing. In high school, you might have different, like, there might be, like, their own group, like, you know, different groups is in the classroom, but in college, I think it's different.
Do you feel like the job opportunities are different from here, from back home?
In a way, I think yes, and in a way, no. I feel like back home, they still look for a degree, just like here. Like, if you have a college degree or if you have a high school degree, you're able to get the job. At the same time, no. Like, looking at right now, back home, I mean, it's really hard for the people to get a job just because of the war with N. So is everyone just afraid, like, you know, am I going to get hurt? But I think in a way it's different. It is different a lot, yeah.
What is your culture like?
My culture? we're big on family. So having family coming together, staying with each other. In a way, like, the girl doesn't leave the house until she gets married. Like if I'm in college, if I'm done with college, I'm still going to be at home, you know, with the family until I get married. And that's how the girls leave. That's, I think, one thing about our culture. Is if you're a girl and you leave your house and you're not married, that's, like, a huge deal. Like, wow, what are you doing? But we're big on family, so we stay together. Taking care of our parents, I think that's a big thing in our family. Like, even once we have our own family, always taking care of our parents and not just leaving them in anywhere. I think that's big for us. I think Ramadan is big for us too, which is like the month of fasting. I think that's something that we always look forward to. So we fast the whole day, like no water, no food, until the sun goes down, and then we're, as a family, we're all sitting down on the table having food and breaking our food. I think that's a big one, Ramadan, which we all love. Just being family is really huge for our culture. Respecting the elders is a big one too. Like, you cannot be disrespectful to the elders. Working together and supporting one each other, I think that's a big one too in our culture. No matter if you have one family struggling, you can't just say like they're just their cousin, they're struggling, like let them figure out, like they like always stepping in and helping each other. I think that's also what makes it big for us. Like right now, also at the center in a community way, which we have our culture, and one of the cool things that they do is like if someone is going through crisis or anything, or a family member die, they pitch in money. Each person would pitch in money just to support that family, even though if they don't know that family, it's just a culture thing to help the other person that is in trouble or has an issue going on.
And you mentioned that, for example, you're not able to leave home until you get married. Is that the same thing for the men?
No, for the men it's different. It's just like for them, like they are well off, they have a good job, they're able to move off, they're able to move. But usually it's just like a culture thing. Usually the guy doesn't leave too. It's just like because we're so tight with family that we just stay with our parents until, like, you know, we're able to move. But like the guys are able to move out anytime that they're stable, but for the female it's different.
How does that make you feel, like the gender roles?
Within that, I feel to me, I'm okay with it. Like, because in a way, I feel like the guy will be able to, I mean, like, if I'm working, like, I am working and I'm stable, it's still, like, I wouldn't leave my house. Because it just, I'm so into the culture and I'm so, it just to me is, like, an okay thing. It's not that big of a deal. Because at the same time, it's part of, like, not leaving your family, like, your parents behind once they get older, too. So if my mom is old and, like, you know, I'm not married yet, like I'm happy because I'm taking care of her, too, you know? I think I'm okay with that.
Has your culture changed while you have arrived here in America?
Not really. In a little bit, yes, but not much.
What has changed?
In our culture, we see a lot of people doing different things, as in, like, girls moving out. I think that's a big change. Like, right now, a lot of people do that, like, is because we are in America. Like, it's just a new culture. So a lot of girls do that. Like, they move out of the house once they are, you know, stable enough and they want to do that. I think another thing would be just, like, like, we're able to, like, girls have more, not voices, but, like, everyone is outspoken. And I feel like back home, not everyone was outspoken in the family. But right now, I feel like everyone is outspoken, whether they're young, they're old, like, they have a voice in a way, you know. They're not afraid to say what they want to say. But back home, it was just, like, you know, just keep our comments to ourselves. I think that's one thing that kind of changed, but not much has changed other than adapting to the American culture and that tiny bit.
Yeah. Did your family practice a religion while you were growing up?
Yeah, my family practiced Islam when we were growing up.
And do you still practice it?
Yes, I do.
Do you attend any religion services?
The mosque. Yeah.
Do you feel like your religion is welcome here in America?
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people appreciate it. Like, a lot of people are okay with it because there's the freedom of religion. Everyone, you know, everyone has their own religion. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people respect that. Everyone that has their own religion and they respect that. But I feel like some people are okay with it in a way. Because they see the negative that's not true about it, but...
How does that make you feel, like, that it's being rephrased or not?
It's just sad, because I feel like people are not looking outside of the box, as in, like, let me research more, or let me actually talk to a person that's from that religion to know the truth or to know more about it. But I feel like a lot of people are just, like, believing what they hear, and it's just, like, true to them. Like, if someone tells me that person is a liar, I'm not going to believe them. I'd rather talk to that actual person and get to know them and see who they really are. And to me, if I see them, like, they're not liars, and someone just, you know, claiming stuff about them, that just, you know, I have to make up my own opinion about that person. And I feel like a lot of people are not making their own opinion, just going with what they hear.
Do you think the media plays a big role?
Yes.
Are there any songs or artifacts that remind you of home that you have with you?
Back home, Somalia, no, because I didn't really grew up back there, so I don't really know much. Egypt, yes, as in, like, some songs, because, like, I would hear them from the TV, you know, like, when we used to watch TV, like, there would be songs on it, and, like, if I hear those songs, it reminds me of Egypt, where I grew up, and some of them used to play in weddings, so, like, when I hear, if I go to a wedding and I hear that song, I'll be like, oh, I remember it, but, yeah, those few things.
What are the songs like? Do you have, like, a specific theme, or?
I think every song has their own theme, yeah.
What's your favorite one?
My favorite one. It's been a long time. My favorite one. A lot. I like a lot of songs.
Mm-hmm. What traditions have you made an effort to preserve?
I'll say my clothes, you know, because a lot of, I mean, the clothes are still the same, but I feel like that's a big tradition, you know, as in the style of clothes that we wear. I don't know much.
Can you describe the style of clothing?
What I mean by that, I mean, like, long dresses. I mean, it is not part of my tradition. It's just, like, Islamic cultural, where we wear long dresses. I think that is a big one. To me, it's like a culture traditional to me, like, wearing that long dress and covering myself, which is part of the religion.
What is your favorite food or things that you love about your culture?
I love all kinds of food, but I think sambusa would be the typical one, because we usually just eat it, like, you know, during holiday or special occasion. I think that's a big one, but I love all kinds of food.
What is your favorite food-related memory?
I would say having it on the big table, you know, like, I remember when we would eat pasta or rice, like, we used to have, like, a big table with, like, all the children, you know, all the adults, and I think that was a big one that I really loved.
Are there any recipes that have been passed down to your family?
Not that I know of. The sambusa recipe, which is, like, traditional, everyone.
What languages do you speak? Do they change, like, from home, from work?
Yes, like, at home I would speak Somali with my mom and family. At work I mean English, and then depending on, like, if there is a family members or, like, a parent comes to me that speaks Somali, like, I would change to talk to them. But yeah,
do you feel comfortable talking Somalia in any place or no?
Any place, as in, like, school, anywhere?
Yeah.
Yes and no. In a way, I do feel comfortable depending on who I'm with. At the same time, no, because I feel like it's kind of rude not to speak in English when you're in other places, depending on the setting. Mm-hmm. So.
What do you do for fun? What do you like to do?
For fun, Just hanging out with friends, watching movies, reading books. I like to draw. Henna, I think that's fun too. I like to do henna. Yeah.
What did you learn to do that?
Henna, I used to play around with myself. So just playing around with myself. I'm still learning. I'm not professional at it. And I had this one girl that always comes to the center. She would love for me to play on her hands too. So she was my model in a way, so I used to play with her hand. So, yeah.
Can you describe the community you live on today here?
The community I live in, I would say very connected. You know, they're very connected. Very helpful to each other. Like, they help each other when they are in need. Very friendly people, yeah.
Where do you live?
I live in Balboa, so a bit far from here.
Have you seen any changes in your neighborhood since you arrived?
I lived in different neighborhoods, so it will be like different changes. The first neighborhood I was living in, I feel like everyone had their own thing going on. The neighborhood I am in, I feel like, is a bit more welcoming, more open, more. Yeah.
What makes it welcoming for others?
I feel like the people that live there, you know, they're very friendly and outgoing. So that's what really makes it welcoming.
What type of people live there, like their cultures?
Very diverse. So all kinds of people. There's Mexicans, there's Arabs, there's Pakistani, Afghani. There's all different kinds of people.
What do you think are the differences between the first generation and the younger generation now?
I think for the first generation, it was just, they had to figure things on their own. Like, they have to go through so much, you know, ways in order to figure what's right and how to do things. And, it was a bit harder for them because no one was there to guide them or tell them what to do. I feel like they had to find ways on their own. They had to, and I feel like there was a lot of pressure. As in, like, you're the first generation, you could do it, like, you know. But and it was just a bit hard for them. For the younger generation, I think there is a bit easier because they're able to follow the footsteps of the first generation. So they are more aware of things. They know things more because the first generation kind of laid it out for them. So I think it's much easier for the younger generation.
Why do you think it's important for the new generations to preserve their history or heritage?
I think it's very important for them to remember their heritage or, like, where they came from and their history, because it's who they are in a way. Because everywhere that you go, you know, people that don't know your culture or your history would ask you. And it just, like, if you don't know about it, it's going to be really hard for you to explain. And I think that's what makes you unique from other people, because you have your own history, you have your own culture than others. So, and just to learn the beauty of where your parents and your people came from and the struggle that they went through just kind of makes you look at the world differently and makes you want to say, like, okay, I need to work hard because they did all of this just to, you know, get to where I am.
Do you feel like you know your culture well enough, or?
I would say well enough, yes, but not as much as I want it to know. But yeah, I would say well enough.
Is your mom the reason why you know certain things?
Yes, she's a big reason.
So you said you moved from Egypt to the U.S. How old were you when you left your country? Well, first, how old were you when you left Somalia?
To Egypt
and then here.
I think when I left Somalia, I think I was about 5. When I left Egypt to America, I was about 10. 9, almost 10.
How old were you when you came to the U.S.?
I was 10.
10?
Yeah.
Why did you leave?
It was a bit hard to live in Egypt. If you're not from the country, it was really hard for you to find a job. So it was really hard for my mom to find a job, and she wasn't able to find a job, and it was really hard for the the people that were new there, or the people that just came there to, you know, make their own business or get a job. So we used to always we would have like family members send us money, and that was how we would pay our bills and stuff. And that couldn't go on for a very long time. That was not ideal. So moving here was a way of, you know, finding different opportunities, finding a good education for us.
How long did it take you guys to make that decision of moving?
I think my mom made the decision before we went to Egypt. Like, when we were in Somalia, I think she was trying to come to America because there was a war in my country, for a better living and for a better education, I think. That they were able to tell her, like, you know, if you go to Egypt, there's a refugee camp there, or there was a refugee that will be able to take you to Europe or America for you to find a stable home.
So did you experience war, like, in your daily life, or did you just hear about it?
I moved a lot. So I was in Ethiopia, and then I went to Somalia. I was in Somalia, Ethiopia, and then Somalia. But in Somalia, I heard about it, like, and I would hear the gunshots, but I was really young for that. I wouldn't say it was happening daily, because I wouldn't know. But I remember that there was nights where I couldn't sleep because I used to hear gunshots and I would be scared, but I wouldn't know much about it.
Did any of your family get affected by the war?
Yes, they have.
Your family that is still back home, are they still being affected by it, or has it stopped?
My family doesn't really talk much about it, but I feel like the family back home is not much affected. The area that they live in, I think, is a bit stable for them, so they're not really experiencing much of an issue right now.
So what type of things did you bring with you when you came to the U.S.?
Clothes. Just our clothes.
Did you leave anything behind that you wish you had brought with you?
No, I think I was young, so I know. No.
How did your mom tell you that you were going to come here?
She did not. It was just like, we're leaving. Let's just get dressed. Or we're leaving a couple of days, you know.
How did you guys come here? Like, the transportation?
To America?
Yeah.
By airplane. Yeah.
Was it long?
It was long airplane.
what was your journey like?
To be honest, I thought we were going on a field trip or vacation in a way. Like, it wasn't that big of a deal. It didn't really hit me that I was going to a different country or anything like that. So it was, like, okay for me. Like, I was relaxed.
Who planned the journey?
My mom. Yeah.
So do you know how much it cost, or approximately, like, did other family members help you?
The way it happened, it was just like the UN would just bring us here. They will pay for everything. And I think so my mom had to sign an agreement, as in, like, she would, the agreement was, once they bring us here, she would pay them back little by little. And it was a lot of money. It was a couple thousand dollars, but it was a lot of money, yeah.
Which family members came along with you?
Just my mom and my brother, just three of us.
How old was your brother when he came here?
He was a year younger, so he was 9 years old.
Did your other siblings stay back home in Egypt?
My other siblings were way older than me. They were my father's first kids from a mom, so they were already in Europe and all over the place when we were in Egypt.
Can you describe the, you said that you moved a lot when mm-hmm. you were young, can you describe the places that you moved?
I moved to Egypt, I mean, I moved to Ethiopia. That's where my dad's side of the family was living at that time. My uncle, his wife and kids. To be honest, I don't know much because I was a baby, but I just hear stories. It was just like a really nice place. Then I moved back to Somalia and then Egypt. But in Ethiopia, I remember my mom telling me like she had to move like to different areas in it because of the weather and like living conditions.
Yeah. Before coming to the U.S., did you hear any stories? Like a lot of people hear about the American dream and how great it is. Did you hear any prior stories coming here?
I had friends that would go to America, that went to America before me. And then it just like, oh my God, we're going to America, you know? And it was just like that big thing that like we're going to a paradise or a great place. So it just felt like we were going to like in this amazing place. But I wouldn't say like I heard about like the American dream until later on. Yeah.
When you got here, did those stories change? Like, were you able to see the differences between their perspective and yours?
Yes. When I came here, I was very confused. Like, the people were so different. Because, like, in Egypt, it's kind of similar to my hometown. Like, the way they dress and stuff. So when I first came here, people were just different, like, and really, really different. I was so confused. I did not know what was going on. Also, in Egypt, like, they have a lot of adhans. They call it adhan, which is, like, so we pray 5 times a day. And so, like, I used to live right next to a mosque. And so every prayer they would call, they would do adhan, which is, like, the calling to prayer. And so we would hear it all the time. And I got so used to that. So when I came here, I wasn't hearing anything, and it would be like, "Oh, it's time to pray," but I was like, "Where's Adhan?" it was so different,
yeah.
Really different.
Did it take you time to adapt?
It did. It really took me a lot of time to adapt and figure out things and tell myself like, "Okay, this is not the same as what you're used to. Like, let's learn."
When you came here, did you have an idea, or were you told that you were gonna go back someday? Or
no, there was not talk about going back. It was just like, we're going to this new place. Let's live there now.
So you said you came here by the UN.
Mm-hmm.
What's the UN?
I only know it's UN.
What was your feeling about America when you were living in your country?
Honestly, I did not have any feelings because I didn't know much about it. I feel like parents just talked, like adults will talk among themselves about it, but the children really had no idea, so I had no feelings towards it. I didn't know about it.
Yeah. Who greeted you when you first arrived here?
My uncle. Yeah. The cool thing was he was living in Egypt with us, and he came before us, so he was the one that was able to greet us.
Where did you guys stay?
We already had an apartment set up for us and everything, so yeah.
What were your first impressions and early experiences in this country?
I was confused. That was my first impressions, as in, like, what is this place? First experience, it was just like, it was like a new adventure. Like, I was looking around, looking at places like, wow, this is really different.
Did you already speak English?
I had a tutor that would teach me little things like, hi, how are you? Just like greeting wise, mm-hmm. but I didn't know much.
How was it learning English?
It wasn't that hard in a way. The teachers I had were very, very nice and kind. So they would make it fun. Like, you know, they would do it into games and they would do it into activities. So it wasn't really that hard, but in a way it was hard too, because I would want to say something, but it wouldn't be right. So that it was a bit frustrating, but it was okay.
Did your mom have to learn English too, or did she?
Yeah, she did. She did.
Did she know English? Or
she does know English, but right now she doesn't really talk to English anymore as she used to a couple years ago. So she's kind of forgetting it.
What city and state did you first settle in?
San Diego, California.
And why San Diego?
Because my uncle is living here. So the cool thing about UN is once they approve your application and once they say, like, you are approved, like, you're able to go, they will ask you, like, do you have anyone in the States? Like, so they will ask you, is there anyone living in any of the states? Like, do you have family members? And if you do, they will ask you for their address and their information. And then they will try to replace you there. So you're able to be near your family. And we were able to say that we had a family member in San Diego.
Do you know how long it took the UN to process your information and, like,
I know it was a while, but I can't say how long it was.
How did you make a living after arriving here?
Welfare. I think the first couple of years it was just through welfare that we were living off, which was a big help. And then after that, she was able to find a job. Like, they had a program where they would teach newcomers how to fill out resumes and how to look for jobs, and they will also try to connect them to, like, jobs that they knew or they were connected with, and they were able to connect her to this babysitting center place. So yeah.
Is that the only way she found out about, like, any resources, or were there also, like, family members that helped out?
I think that was the only way. Yeah.
What changes did you have to make once you moved in to the U.S.?
There's a lot of changes, like, we had to make. I think, like, language-wise, you know, at the beginning, we would try to speak English a lot at home, and it was just like we had to compromise anyway so we won't forget our own language. That was a change that we had to do, because back in Egypt, like, it wasn't a big issue. Like, you know, we'll speak Somali all the time, but right now, like, we wanted to speak this language all the time, but we had to compromise and say, like, you know, okay, we're not home, we have to speak it sometimes but not all the time so we won't forget our own language.
What were some hopes or goals that you guys had when coming here?
I think some of the hope and goals were a better living style. So living better, to have a good education for us. I think that was my mom's biggest hope and goal, like, to have a good education for her kids. To have a better living where she didn't have to wait, you know, for a family member to support us or send us money for the rent or any of that. So for us to able to do that for ourselves and make ourselves, you know, have a better education where we're able to depend only on ourselves and not others. I think that was the biggest thing.
How do you feel about your mother taking this decision to bring you guys to the U.S.?
I think it was big. It was really, really big for her, especially a country where you don't know much about anybody, you don't know the language, you know, and she was a single mom, two young kids. I think that was a big one. It was a big choice that she had to make.
Do you miss anything about your home country, Egypt?
Just the family. I think that's the biggest one. Family was the biggest one. And just the way of living there, you know, it was just, I think to me it was easier because I was a kid, but just the family and the way we were living.
While arriving here or now, have you experienced any like discrimination or anything like that?
Yes, especially when I was in school, because the middle school I went to was it was like full of white people, and so there was not much people like me. There was no one that was Somali. There was no one that was Muslim, and I was the only girl that was covered up in school, and it was really, really tough because a lot of the kids didn't understand why I covered my head. And a lot of them would, you know, say really horrible things, you know, about my dress code. And some will say, oh, you're wearing that headscarf because you don't have a hair, huh? Like, you're bald. So it was just, like, really, really hard because I feel like they were not aware of it either. So it was just really hard to adapt with them.
Did you ever feel like you had to change in order for that to stop, or...
No, because I feel like that was just part of me, but it was just really hard to process it, but I didn't really think I had to change it. I think I wanted them to understand instead of me changing.
Yeah. Are there any differences in gender roles here in America than back home?
Yes and no. In a way, they're similar where the guy's working and everything. But I think back home, a lot of the female were stay-at-home moms. Like, they weren't really... There were some that were working and stuff, but majority were just stay-at-home moms. But right here, I think it's a bit different where the woman is also working and doing the same amount of hours as the man.
Do you have any thoughts about the current political climate that we are in place today?
No.
Yeah. Are you involved in any other organizations other than the U.S.?
We collaborate with different organizations, but I wouldn't say I'm involved with another one.
Okay. So do you keep in touch with family, relatives back home?
Yes.
Yeah. If so, how?
By phone.
Do you travel back home?
No, I still haven't been back home. Not yet.
How long has that been?
Ever since I came here, I have not been back home.
Why is that?
Financial. It's very, very expensive. Yeah. So it's really tough.
How does that make you feel, like not seeing other family members?
It's really hard because I didn't grow up with them. And the last time they saw me was when I was very young. So it's sad, but, you know, there's pictures, there's video chat, but it's sad not to see them personally.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever plan on going back home?
Yes. I always plan on always going back home. One of my goals was when I finished high school to go back home, but I wasn't thinking about the expenses. But, yeah, I always want to go back home.
Do you want to go back home just to visit or...
I would say both. Like, I think at the beginning I want to go back home as to visit and see my family, my home country. Because to be honest, if you tell me, like, describe your home country, I would say I have no idea. Because I left there when I was a baby. But at the same time, I would want to live there one day. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there any other things that you would like to cover? What would be like your final words or advice for future generations?
I would say work hard. Always try to learn your culture and your history, and be proud of it. Like, don't feel like, you know, your culture or, you know, where you come from is like a bad place. But take it, you know, feel proud about it, and, you know, hold on to it dearly.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
No.
Well, I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
For doing this interview, and thank you.
Thank you.